Tonight we're going to examine two additional cases of faith at work. In the Old Testament, we find the destruction of the city of Jericho, a city that was destroyed not by cannon fire and arrows and spears, but by the command of God. Also, we'll look at the intercessory work of a harlot who was used to protect God's spies and to prepare them for the conquest that was soon to come to pass. The destruction of Jericho is the first step in a centuries-long divine curse against that city. They've been digging in the ruins outside of Jericho now for at least 75 years. And when I was there back in the last time, back in the 80s, they had found 16 layers of ruins where the city had been destroyed. God had put a curse on it, said the city wouldn't be blessed, and it's never been able to survive for any length of time. There's a city there now that's been there about as long as any of them have, but it's subject to be destroyed at any time. The example of Rahab is an admirable view of God changing a mind and changing a heart, even among the most carnal and idolatrous people. She had heard about the power of Israel's God, and she believed it. She understood how foolish the people of Jericho were, and she knew that her only hope was to trust God and to take advantage of the opportunity that God gave her with the spies. You know, faith is a glorious thing. It's a glorious gift to just trust God. And it falls on men and women, like Rahab, by God's sovereign purpose. The same faith that is with us today. The young lady I mentioned who I used to work with, who's battling cancer again, it's been interesting for me to watch her because she wasn't a believer. And God saved her a few years ago, and it's been interesting to watch her deal with this life-threatening disease. I was talking to the lady that runs the restaurant where I eat breakfast a lot of days. And it was her granddaughter, wasn't it, Dad? She lost her granddaughter, a young woman. And it amazed me how she knew how to deal with death. She's a believer. Believers learn to deal with death. The world can't learn. The world keeps coming up with some new excuse or some new reason. But this woman, Rahab, is a great example of faith to us. She was a relative of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's one of the five women that are listed in his genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew. And I want to bring you a message tonight that I have titled A City Destroyed and a Harlot Preserved. Let's look at the city is destroyed in Joshua chapter 6, and Rahab's story starts in Judges in Joshua chapter 2, if you're interested in reading that. Find, first of all, the faith of the Israelites under their leader, Joshua. God had taken Moses up on a mountain, and Moses had died, and God had buried him there. Nobody knows where he's buried, and it's not important where he's buried. His spirit's with the Lord, and God will dig his body up when he gets ready to, give him a glorified body. But He had given to Joshua the responsibility to lead the nation. Joshua was a young man, and he began to lead the people. And they were just as cantankerous with him as they had been with Moses. But God told Joshua to take the people across the river and come to the city of Jericho and to camp there. And then he gave him a strange challenge. He said, I want you to destroy Jericho, but don't shoot an arrow, and don't throw a spear, and don't break down the gates. Y'all just do what I tell you, and I'll do that. Now, the city of Jericho in ancient times was a large city. In fact, one account that I read about said that the wall around the city was so wide that they could drive two chariots side by side all the way around the top of the wall, even with buildings sticking out and so on. But God had a means to bring down this great wall of Jericho. He told them, he said, I want you to take the priests, tell them to take the ark and take a horn made out of a ram's horn. And for 6 days, the priest and, and your men are to march around the city one time. Just go around the city one time. And when you get around the city and you get in front of the gate again, tell them to blow the ram's horn and go back to camp. On the seventh day, I want you to go around the city seven times. Every time you come around the city, blow the horn. And when you go around the city the seventh time, tell everybody to shout real loud, the glory of God, and blow that horn, and the walls will fall down. Now, I don't know if you think that takes a lot of faith, but it sure sounds like it to me. It took faith for them to believe God. It took faith for them to make that journey. I'm sure there was somebody, there had to be one smart aleck in the bunch that said, well, I don't know why we need to walk around this city seven times. We've been walking around it once every day for the last week. But they walked around it like God said. And the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant every time they went around. And on that seventh day, they blew that ram's horn and they shouted as loud as they could. And the walls of the city fell completely down. That's pretty amazing to me. Now, I know a few women, I think, can shout loud enough that they could knock a couple of rocks out of a wall. But to knock a whole wall down? Not even Sandy can do that. And the whole city fell completely down. It seems like this was an impossible method that God had given them to try their faith. But it also was a great lesson to the people of Jericho, because they ignored God. They heard about it. Rahab told the spies, we've heard about your God. And she said, I know that God's going to give you a city. But all the people didn't believe that. And when they went around that seventh time, the walls fell down. Everything except one building. Why didn't it fall down? If you'll read back in Joshua 2, when you get home, you'll find out that the spies, when they went down the wall, Rahab let them down the wall of the city with a scarlet rope. And they told her, said, you put that scarlet rope around the window, and when God destroys the city, he'll preserve your house and everybody that's in it. You know, the Lord loves to do things by contemptible methods. better to his own honor and glory. Came to a blind man one day. Jesus did. The fellow said, I'm blind, can't see, won't see. Jesus spit in his eyes. Said, can you see? He said, I can see, but men look like trees. And he touched him and rubbed his eyes. He said, now can you see? I'd like to be in there. I got a feeling he answered real loud. He said, I can see everybody. It's amazing. The disciples got in a boat one night. Jesus told them, said, get in your boat. They were experienced sailors. Get in your boat and go across the sea, and I'll meet you over there later. They began to go across the sea, and a storm came up. And the waves began to splash over the boat, and the boat began to rock, and they began to fear, and they began to cry, they began to pray. Probably a few of them turned over, a few leaves of resolution, and they looked up, and they saw something coming across the water, and they said, what is that? I don't know, I think it's a ghost. And he got closer, and John said, it's Jesus. And Peter called out to him and said, bid me to come to you. And Peter climbed right over the side of the boat and started walking on top of the water. And all of a sudden he got amazed that he could walk on the water, and he began to sink. And he said, Lord, help me. When the Lord picked him up, put him in the boat. God does amazing things. Jesus went to a wedding one day, and after everybody got pretty well drunk, they said, we're out of wine. Looks bad on the groom because he's run out of wine. And his mother said, she said something to him, and he said, I'm about my father's business. I got time for you. And she turned around and said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And they had some great big water pots there. And he told them, so go fill those water pots up with water. And they got them full. The judge of the wedding said, bring me a cup. And they brought him a dipper full of water. And he tasted of it. And he said, my, this is the best wine I've ever drunk. You ever stop and think how God does great miracles in your life with little things? Sometimes he makes things happen. Sometimes he stops things from happening. All because he's mighty. Now there was a glorious success that came to the Israelites from God's prescribed means at Jericho. All the walls of the city. It was a large city. I've been there. I ate one of the best meals I ever ate in my life in the city of Jericho. Except for that stuff, whatever they call it, that they dip bread in. It's awful. But the bread was delicious. And all the walls of Jericho fell down. Except that part containing Rahab's house. Now, God displayed in this first city in the land his purpose for the nation. I remind you that the children of Israel, they've been out of Egypt now for about 40 years. They were not warriors. They were slaves. They were bricklayers and mud diggers and straw choppers. They didn't know a thing about fighting. And God wanted them to know that their victory was not in their fighting ability, it was in God's might. God was pleased to dismantle this great city of Canaan. Now, I'm not a carpenter or anything like that. Those of you who've seen stuff I've done know that. But I have watched people like Harold or Buddy that know what they're doing, and I found out It's about as much trouble to tear a building down as it is to build one. You don't have to be quite as neat with things, but it still takes time. And God dismantled the whole city with a ram's horn and a couple of shouts. He did so to terrify the Canaanite residents of that city of Jericho. The Canaanites had many cities, and they all had to be conquered. And he started with Jericho, which was a mighty city in that day, to warn the other Canaanites. But he also strengthened the faith of Israel when they saw God work. There are a lot of people that sit in churches every week, and they hear men preach, and they hear choirs sing, and they talk about God, and they talk about religion. And most of them have never seen God. They've never seen God. And they certainly have never seen God work. I tell you, the first time God lets you see a miracle, it'll amaze you. You're worse than a kid in a litter of new pups. They're just amazing. He's just amazing. God did what he did to silence not only the complaints of the Canaanite, but all the bragging of the Hebrews. How can you brag about what you can do when God can destroy a city by blowing a horn? God will always conquer all of his enemies. Always. And he'll always do so in his own time. Some of you know today's my birthday. And I want you to know that nobody is as surprised that I'm still alive as me. I thought I'd die before I was 21. When I got 21, I couldn't believe it. I thought I'll die before I'm 35. And when I got 35, I couldn't believe it. And after that, I just gave up. I just decided I'd leave it alone, let God take care of it. But God does everything he does in his own time. And I know more about God now than I've ever known about him. And I understand more about him than I've ever understood about him. But I still don't know that much. He's amazing. He always does things in his own time. And he always does so using the methods that he picks. Now, if I'd been God and I was going to blow down the city of Jericho, I'd have given a couple of atom bombs and said, "Now, y'all don't know what these are. Just put them over by the wall and I'll set them off and they'll go up and blow the wall down." It would probably work. But they'd have bragged about how they set them off right. God makes all opposition to his plans and purposes to fail. The Canaanites knew they were coming. The people of Jericho knew they were coming. They'd heard about their God. They had their soldiers had their spears sharpened and their arrows sharpened, and they were ready to fight. They were ready to wipe out these Hebrew slaves. Well, God pretty well took care of that, didn't he? God will make the grace of faith to be a mighty weapon and make it able to tear down strongholds. Faith will rule and reign where things can't. I woke up day before yesterday, I think it was, about, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I thought it was 6 o'clock, I was going to get up. I turned the TV on, I noticed on KET there was a show on about dying. And I turned it on, and it was really interesting. It was a fascinating show about the development of what they call palliative care, the development of hospice and some other things like that. And I thought, it's amazing. It took people, 8,000 years to learn what God told them back in the very beginning, that life's in his control, nothing they can do about it. And he makes this grace to be a mighty weapon that tears down obstacles and tears down strongholds. nations and destroys armies and makes every enemy and every false religion to crumble in defeat. You may be like me. Before the last election, I was very concerned over who might win. I didn't know because I wanted to vote for, because I knew who I was going to vote for, the two, but I was concerned about the results. And I had told somebody before the election, no matter who wins this election, this country will suffer. It's the worst choice we've ever had to make. But when God has great works for his people to do, he will do them by whatever means he pleases, and he will give them faith to either do his work or to deal with his work. There is no enemy who can possibly impose on God's design purpose. I want to say that again. There is no enemy who can possibly impose on God's design purpose. If you intend to live, you can go to the best doctors that you can find. I recommend highly to you. Go to the Mayo Clinic or the Cleveland Clinic. Cleveland Clinic, they're both phenomenal. Spend all the money you've got, have all the tests, have all the medical procedures done, get into any kind of experimental drugs you want to. If God wants you to die on the 19th of January of 2017, you're going to die on the 19th of January 2017. I don't care what they do. They may think they're healing your disease, but you'll get run over by a car. Or an airplane will fall on you or something. Nobody can stop God. Nobody. What God does, he does in his own time, and he does in his own way. Jericho's destruction is an emblem of the fall of the walls of the hearts of unregenerate men and women. There are a lot of men and women walk around this world whose hearts are as hard as a rock. I was one of them. For years and years, people would talk to me about the Lord when I'd let them, which wasn't often. Until one night God spoke to me. And I listened to him. Not because I wanted to. I had no choice. Enemies of God are full of unbelief. That was me. Full of hardness. I was as tough as an ox. Full of enmity. You crossed me, you were in trouble. And they have vain confidence in themselves. And the truth of the matter is, God will destroy it. Through the preaching of the gospel, Christ convicts and breaks the heart of sinners, just like God destroyed the walls of Jericho. He'll knock them down. Hearts of unregenerate men and women are mean and despicable and unlikely to ever come to God until he conquers their hearts, which he'll do. The fall of this city is a warning from God to other cities and countries and individuals who are opposed to God. See, nothing's impossible for our God. Nothing. No defense can possibly delay him, deter him, or defeat him from his intended purpose. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I told him, I said, you ever have one of those days when you just wish the phone would stop ringing? hardest part of being a pastor is not preaching, and it's not dealing with folks in your church. The hardest part of being a pastor is all those people in this county who get your phone number, and they've got somebody that hadn't been to church for 75 years. They just found out they got stage 4 terminal cancer, and they want the preacher to do something about it. I tell you, days like that, I just don't want to answer the phone. I don't mind helping people if I can help them. But I don't have the answers. And then let's look at verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. I don't know why God put Joshua, put the city first, and then put Rahab. Because in the Bible, in the book of Judges, it's the other way around. Or in the book of Joshua, it's the other way around. This woman, Rahab, is an amazing woman to me. I've never been a woman, but if I was, I'd be real proud to have Rahab be of my gender. She was an amazing woman. Who was she? Who was this mysterious woman? Well, she was a Canaanite and a stranger to the nation of Israel. She knew nothing about God. She knew nothing about the Hebrews. She knew nothing about God's word. She knew nothing about the past. The only thing she knew was she had heard that these people who are traveling through the desert had been set free in Egypt and they were headed to the promised land, and they have a God who is so mighty and so powerful that he's just going to wipe us away. And she believed it. She was a woman that believed in God, a woman who had touched God, and God had given her faith to believe. You see, in spite of what churches say and preachers say, God does come to people. I know because he came to me. And I wasn't looking for him. And he came to this woman when she wasn't looking for him, and he gave her faith. She'd been a harlot. I've heard preachers try every way in the world to make that what it ain't. She was a common prostitute. She sold her body for money to make a living. She had a house on the wall of Jericho. She probably had other prostitutes there. And she made a good, she had a good business going. She lived by sin, and she lived in sin. She was a common woman, the keeper of a house of sin, but a woman who God had made to see her iniquity and had enabled her to repent of it. You know, the pardoning mercy of Christ saves many people. And it had saved this woman from her shame. God had made her to see that the way she made a living was not a righteous way. He had brought her to faith in Christ. And the Lord Jesus saves the chief of sinners. Sin had abounded, but grace had superabounded to the deliverance of his people. Now what Rahab did by faith was she received the spies in peace. In Joshua chapter 2, it tells us there in verse 6 and 7, she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they was pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. She put them up on the roof, covered them up with flax, and she told the people of Jericho, well, they went over the wall, they escaped. They're headed for the hills. Go chase them. She concealed these men because they wanted to kill them. And she made a confession to them of her faith in God. She said, I know about your God. I know what kind of God he is. Let me turn back here and read that. In Joshua chapter 2, I think it's verse 9. This Bible's still stuck together. Can't get it to turn. Joshua chapter 2. Verse 9. There it is. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. I've talked to a lot of people about God. I've not heard many men or women say that. She caused them to plead for her protection and benefit. She said, I'll help you out. I'll escape, let you escape. But you got to promise me when you destroy the city, you'll preserve me and my family. And they gave her a sign. She had this red rope. She said, let us down over the wall with that red rope. And then put it in your wind frame. And when we see that, when God sees that red rope, he won't touch this house. And she sent him away with good advice and wise instruction. You see, Rahab was a marvelous woman who learned some lessons of faith. First of all, true faith is always seen in good works, and especially so in God's people. Rolf Barnard used to say, a man or woman can't go from no faith to faith without a change, and you can't. Faith will overrule all the hazards in the cause of God and his people. You may not know what tomorrow is going to hold. You may not know what's coming. But I'll tell you what you ought to know, if you're a believer, is that whatever it brings, God will be there. And he'll protect you if you need protecting. And he'll take you if you need taking. True believers will, by faith, expose themselves to danger for God's glory and God's interests. You think it didn't take backbone for Moses to walk up in Pharaoh's face and say, let God's people go? You think it didn't take courage for Joshua to say to the people, march around that city 7 times on the 7th day and then blow that horn and shout and the walls will fall down? True believers desire to be in a covenant relationship with God. I was thinking about getting married the other day. And I was thinking about, I didn't have any idea what I was doing when I got married. I knew I was madly in love, and she was madly in love with me, but I didn't know a thing about getting married. I come from such a disruptive family background that I didn't know anything it was to be happy at home, and I tell you, it was amazing to find out. God gave me a Christian wife. I was a heathen. And she was so kind to me. People of grace ought to want to cast their lot with God and deal with the consequences, whatever they are. Now, Rahab and his family were... Her family, rather, were beneficiaries of God's kindness and mercy. These men did what they said they'd do. Every inhabitant of Jericho perished. They all died. Men, women, boys, and girls, all the livestock, everything in that city died. As disobedient rebels against God's word. They all perished but the sword. But Rahab's family was untouched. Not a hair on their head was missing. They probably didn't even get stone dust on them, I wouldn't think. She received the spies by faith, just as we received Christ by faith. That scarlet thread is special. It's typical of the blood of Christ that was her hope, and it's typical of the blood of Christ which is our hope. Let me give you some concluding thoughts on these verses real quickly. There's some lessons that ought to be learned from the overthrow of the walls of Jericho. First of all, the faith by which Jericho fell was an expected faith. I tell you, as a believer, you ought to expect faith to do something. You should expect it to cause things to change. Back in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, if I can get this to turn back here. It says this, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Because they believed God, people shouted and expected the fall of the huge walls of Jericho. And that's what happened. We ought to expect the triumphant victory of the gospel to succeed. I mean this, I really do. Every time I walk out of that study and I walk up here and get in this pulpit and I preach, I expect something to happen. I expect some sinner that's never had a repentant heart to be changed and desire to close with Christ. I desire some religious person who's ambled around perhaps for years to suddenly be touched and they want to be part of the church. Someone who's never followed the Lord in baptism, that they want to obey Him. I expect that. We'll live every day in expectation of Christ's coming. You know, He's coming. We just don't know when. And I expect it every day. He always prevails. He always triumphs. And He's coming again. You know, God's people will prevail. They will. I don't know about you. I've had days in my life and I just thought, run up the white flag. It's all over with. And nothing I do is working. And nothing I do does work. But God's people will prevail over every obstacle, over every enemy, over every foe, over death, over hell, and over the grave. Because of their God. Because of their God. There's some lessons we ought to learn from the example of Rahab. God, our Savior, saves real sinners, even a harlot wallowing in sin. This woman was a picture of God's free and sovereign grace at work. That's what she was. She was a cursed woman from a cursed nation, in a cursed profession, dwelling in a cursed city, but she obtained mercy. That's the only thing that matters. She obtained mercy. Like Abraham, she proved her faith by her works. James 2:25 says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another what? See, James knew about Rahab. She persevered in faith. And she stayed in the house when judgment came. I don't know if you ever thought about that. What an exercise of faith. The city's falling down. The walls are going to fall down. God's already told them. When she knew. And when they went around the wall the seventh time, I'd have been tempted to be going out the back gate. She stayed right there. Marked by the blood of Christ. She had a singular faith. Resting in God. Steadfast faith. Self-denying faith. She dared to risk her life because of what she believed. She had a sanctifying faith. Grace delivered her from the brothel, from the city, and gave her faith to trust Christ. Something else about her we forget, we don't pay attention to. She went with the Israelites. She walked with the Israelites in that journey. And she married a Hebrew man who was in the lineage of the Messiah. And she was an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to close tonight with the words of an old hymn I found. It says, O gift of grace, O grace of faith, my God, how can it be that thou who hast discerning love should give that love to me? How many hearts thou might have had more worthy, Lord, than mine. Oh, how many souls more worthy far of that pure touch of thine. Ah, grace, into most unlikely hearts it is thy boast to come, thy glories of thy light to find in darkest spots a home. Thy choice, O God of goodness, then, I lovingly adore. Oh, give me grace to keep thy grace, and grace to long for more. Charles Wesley wrote that. Great hymn. How God destroyed a city and preserved a prostitute. Amen.